Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I'm your host, Greg Wareham. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the buyer's agency agreements that have been floating around. As we all know, on August 17th, things changed in the real estate industry, and it changes the way a lot of us will do business on the buyer's side of the transaction. Having to get the buyer or the prospective buyer to sign an agreement up front, identifying what that commission is, it's going to take a little bit more skill to be able to do that. And then also, of course, validate what the services are going to be for that individual that you're showing a house to. Now, whether or not it's 2, 3, 4% commission that you're looking for on the buyer's side, what I wanted to try and shed some light on today is, well, how do you pay that? So if I'm someone looking to purchase a house, what are my options to be able to cover that commission? So I really boil it down to three reasonable options. And they're not the only options, but they're the ones that I see as most probable. Number one, it's business as usual, and the seller's side is looking to pay the commission for the buyer's agent. All right, great. Maybe that happens 90, 95% of the time, and there's no issues at all with our buyers because they're not going to pay anything out of pocket. So that's number one, the seller pays it. Number two is being able to facilitate it in the form of a seller's concession. So increasing the purchase price for the purpose of trying to issue a credit back to cover those costs, the buyer's commission costs, as well as some of the other costs in there. And then number three is, how do I do a loan to be able to cover that cost? So I'm going to go through all three of those in a little bit of detail, but I wanted to start with seller paid. So traditionally, the seller's obviously going to pay the commission to the buyer's agent. I think one of the hurdles that we have is you can't post this anymore in the MLS. Now, whether or not they cover all the commission is another conversation. But a real challenge in there is trying to identify what that commission is that they're paying on the seller side. I've seen a lot of situations where it just becomes completely negotiable, where it's how much money are you looking for in trying to work that negotiation out, which is really what the industry or the Department of Justice or whoever you want to pin it on is trying to do, create a very competitive market. As far as trying to understand what the percentages that's being offered out, the best advice I could give is if you're a listing agent and you do not have a website that identifies that on your personal website, you may want to consider that. You may want to consider some other systems that you can put in place to make sure that you're not taking 1,000 phone calls from buyer's agents looking to show your personal property or your individual listing that you have. So you really want to be able to put an overall system in place to make sure that you're not just getting inundated with the phone calls. And as I understand it, doing it in the form of a website is one way that you can do it. Now, if you have an existing website, how do you go about adding the buyer's agency compensation that is available? Do you have the technical aptitude to be able to do that? And in the event that you don't, we can certainly help lead you down the path of assistance to make that more streamlined for you. And I'll give you some information at the end. Number two, which really falls into the category of concessions, I think we all know what a seller's concession looks like. And that seller's concession is just increasing the purchase price of a property for the purpose of issuing a credit back to the prospective buyer. Now, we get it in theory, but my experience is not everyone knows exactly what you can do with a seller's concession because it does vary depending on how much someone's putting down and the type of mortgage product that they're doing. So I want to run through that chart with you really quickly. So if a potential buyer is looking to do a conventional mortgage and they're putting down less than 10%, what's the maximum seller's concession that they can request and still be able to do the mortgage? And the answer is 3%. So if you have someone purchasing a $500,000 property, a 3% concession would be up to $15,000. In that example, the purchase price of the property would be $515,000, issuing a $15,000 credit back towards closing, and the seller is still walking away with the $500,000 that they were expecting. If you're putting down between 75.01% and 90%, you can request up to a 6% seller's concession. Now, in that situation, on a half a million dollar loan amount, operating the presumption that you had put down 25%, that's 6% on half a million is what? $30,000 that you could potentially request in a concession. Purchase price now is going to be higher by that $30,000 amount, and then you can get the credit back towards closing. Now, under 75%, so if you have someone who's putting down 25.1% or more on the property, the maximum seller's concession that you can request is up to 9% of what that purchase price would be. So I hope that provides a little bit more clarity. Let me just run through them again really quickly. So if you're putting down 10% or less, you can request a 3% seller's concession on the purchase price of the property. If you're doing 75.01% in 90% of the value of the property, so putting down just under 25% to 10% down, it's 6%. And if you're putting down more than 25%, you can request a 9% seller's concession. And I want to apologize. I think I misspoke a little bit earlier in reference to loan amount in my example. So to kind of go back to that 3% seller's concession, it's a $500,000 purchase price. You'd request a 3% seller's concession, or you can request up to a 3% seller's concession, operating the presumption that they put down 10% or less, in which case a new purchase price would be $515,000, $15,000 back to the buyer, and your seller still walks away with $500,000. So if I misspoke earlier, I apologize. I hope that provides a little bit more clarity. Now, those are for conventional mortgages that are a primary residence or a secondary home. What about an investment property? If I have someone looking to buy an investment property doing a conventional mortgage, can I even get a seller's concession? And the answer is yes. The key is that the maximum seller's concession that you can receive is 2%. It doesn't matter how much money you're putting down, it's a 2% seller's concession that you can qualify for. Now, what about VA lending and FHA lending? They have different caps than conventional mortgages. So on a VA mortgage, the maximum seller's concession that you can get is 4%. So on a $500,000 purchase price, 4% of that would be $20,000. On an FHA mortgage, the maximum seller's concession that you can request is 6%. So 6% on $500,000, that's $30,000. Now, in that particular situation, as an example with the FHA mortgage, purchase price is $500,000. You need a 6% seller's concession, so the new purchase price is $530,000. That gets credited again back to the buyer, and that's going to more than cover any of the buyer's agent's commission, plus some of the additional closing costs as well. So you just want to understand your options. The last thing that I wanted to talk about is doing a personal loan. So there are some institutions that, some banks that will do a personal loan to cover the cost of buyer's commission. In addition to that, those personal loans can also cover the cost of renovations. It can cover the cost of paying down credit card debt for the purpose of qualifying, and then of course the commission as well. My point and what I'm hoping I'm getting across to everyone is there are options. And one thing that's unique about this situation is it impacts all of us. It impacts all of us on the real estate side, and it impacts all of us on the mortgage side as well. So understanding what the options are really provides a lot of clarity as to how we articulate it to the consumer. The other one more option that I do want to mention is the buyer also has the option to just put down less money. So let's say you have a buyer who's looking to put down 10%. Well, you know that the commission's 3% that you're getting on the buy side. And if we find out that the seller's not going to pay that commission or not all of the commission, we can always go from putting down 10% to putting down 7%. Or whatever that difference is between what the seller's paying and what your buyer's side commission is. The important part is that everything's being communicated up front. And it's not just you, it's the entire industry. So if I'm talking to someone looking to purchase a home, I'm having that conversation with them up front. So we know that statistically, most of the sellers are going to offer out commission, but in the event that they're not going to do it, here's the options that you have Mr. or Mrs. Buyer, Mr. or Ms. Buyer, in order to still close on the transaction. In my experience with all buyers after 25, now 26 years doing it, is as long as people are not being caught off guard and not feeling like they were never educated as to what those options are up front, people are fine with it. And I'm going to use the example of underappraisals, because we ran into that in this industry over the course of the past several years. Now, we haven't seen much of them now, but as soon as prices started increasing very drastically several years ago, some properties were coming in less from an appraisal standpoint than what people were purchasing the house for. Now, I ran into a lot of situations where I was pulled in after the fact at a transaction that we were not handling, where the buyer was never properly educated. Well, as long as there's education so people understand what happens in the event that a property underappraises, they were fine with it 100% of the time, because nothing came as a shock. And the same holds true to the buyer's commission. As long as you're articulating the what-if scenarios and people have extreme clarity as to what you can and can't do in the event the seller's not paying the commission, people are fine with it. Now, if you have any questions at all about concessions or the personal lending aspect of it, or you need help from a website standpoint in trying to disclose what commissions look like on the buyer side on your website, just reach out to us. The best way to reach out to me is to email me directly. And my email address is Greg@yourmortgageprocess.com. Again, that's Greg@yourmortgageprocess.com. Anything I can do to try to help facilitate transactions and lead people down the path in this time that's going to be a little bit trying over the course of the next 6 months before this market stabilizes and people get used to it, let me know. We're here for you and we're here to help. Appreciate you listening to the podcast today. Again, my name's Greg Wareham, and this is Your Mortgage Process. We look forward to catching up with you next week. Bye, guys. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.